welcome to the With the Will podcast, where to entertain, inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I spent too much money this weekend.
Yeah, we'll go into what Dev was doing later, but her sending me the messages of her spending money was amusing. So, good weekend, Dev. How was the week, since we are now back to weekly schedule rather than every other week?
Very busy, both in fandom-ish news and also at work.
Yeah. Since we have, weirdly, plenty to go on, let's just go ahead and get started. So first up, Liberator 18.2. This is the second part of Only My Pride. And nothing super wild in this one. Like, the earlier Risa art was nice. Am I wrong, or did the line art feel crisper and it didn't have the broken aliasing this time as much?
What looked slightly different.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite place.
It felt like there was more anti-aliasing, so things were a bit smoother.
Probably to show off how much Duolahamon's design absolutely fucks.
Digital snow effect on the flashback. Although I will say, the power of friendship moment, it's nice and emotional, but when there's not actually like a power of friendship, like you have to reiterate, it does come off a bit odd when like the entire time they're friends talking about their friendship, and then they do it here, so it's a bit off structurally.
And like they're already friends.
Yes, and then they show Violet meeting Ghostmon. I like that Violet was exactly Violet in that flashback. It feels a bit weird doing that so close to Elizamon's, considering the origin was pretty similar.
Like, you're a creepy little dude. I'm gonna stalk you.
We get all the other heroes looking to the future, and then Delamon looked good. I will say, I would have liked more framing of him with the head axe on the chain. It wasn't featured well enough until they did that nice multi-panel swing shot. Like that.
Yeah,
was
it is something that deserves like a wide double-page spread.
Yeah, I think they decided not to show it that well until that big multi-swing, but I would have liked it more. Violet gets her moment of honesty where she drops it. She just talks to Risa. It felt like this should be the end, but then it kept going. And then the very
end... They have to fit a certain amount of space.
Well, then at the very end, it's like, oh yes, Shoto and Zenith both exist. And also, am I wrong? Or had they not met the last time we'd caught up with Shoto?
They had not. Shoto was just... being vaguely useless.
So what you're saying is we're going to get a catch-up chapter or two, probably, that's going to show us what Shoto's been doing this whole time.
Probably that, or it'll be something only mentioned in the
novel?
Web novel.
Yeah, I guess that is where we got Elizamon's origin, isn't it? We didn't get that in a comic.
Yeah. That Zenith has mostly been active in the novel version.
Has he? When's the last time we got in-depth stuff with Zenith. Am I wrong, or was it when they gave the origin of his new costume?
When they gave the origin of his new costume, and him and Unchained were basically just being dicks.
For a minute, I thought maybe it had been the one last week, and I forgot.
Nah.
Okay. Then they put up the archive videos for all the Digimon Expo stage events.
I still have to go through some of these.
Weirdly, they did not put up the advertising one, which was only 20 minutes of going over products, but you figure they would have archived one of them.
Do they have, other advertisements already existing?
It's possible.
It's
also possible that it's just appended to one or more of these, because I have not watched these in depth, the archives. But yeah, so what the archives are is there's the opening event with Terrymon assistant, the Alisson stage event, the Time Stranger stage event, the audio drama for Crosswords, which they already put up, which would seem to confirm that whatever agreement they had to get everyone there was probably an agency not wanting a stage event streamed. Beatbreak cast roundtable, card game stage, the Beatbreak staff roundtable, and the Adventure 02 stage event with both the audio drama and the stage portion. So you can watch those freely.
That one I still have to watch.
Oh, the O2 one's... Just hearing the voices for the O2 one's great. And then
yeah, I caught like a little bit of it while it was airing live, but
I'm pretty sure that if I remember right, I turned it on my phone and listened to it while in bed, like half asleep. Because I think that was starting, I think it was supposed to start at like 1 my time, and it started like 1:30. So then we get a wave of beat breaks. So first up, we got some screenshots from episode 1.
They look awesome. I can't wait to watch it.
Although weirdly, does the one of Gekkomon waving, does his proportions seem like chunkier than his art normally is?
His body looks a little chunkier. Usually it feels like his head is bigger in proportion.
Yeah, you know what it is? It feels like these proportions are Gamamon in the shot.
Ah.
Instead of being like a goofy lizard guy.
It's just a lizard
guy. We already had the title for episode 1, The Beat of Emotions, where I had the synopsis. Then we get casting news. Asuka Tenma, who is Tomorrow's older brother, is played by Kazuya Nakai. He was Gaomon and Savers in Angoramon in Ghost Game.
Neat.
He's someone who has a lot of roles. We can pretty much just say he's Zoro in One Piece, and most people go, okay, I know who that is.
Like, ah, it's that guy.
Yeah. And then they started countdown artwork, where the staff and cast were drawing on Shikishis for countdowns. So for 10 days to go, character designer Takahiro Kojima, a few messages drawing the number 10, and he drew a little Gekkomon doing a peace sign. They also announced the November issue of Voice Actor Grand Prix will have a beat break feature with Miyu Reno and Megumi Han. That's on sale in about a week and a half. It feels like it would be more helpful to see the cover, though, rather than just like the advertising sheet.
Maybe the cover isn't finalized yet?
Maybe. Then the 9-day countdown art, series director Hiroaki Miyamoto, drew Tomorrow. That's actually really good art.
Yeah.
Brujala also showed off can badges and acrylic stands with new art. They will be on sale October 5th when the show begins. They are also working on shirts with this artwork. I feel like the VIP shirt is going to be if they do that Gekkomon pose on the shirt well enough.
I know that they'll probably never do it because usually they default to white or black shirts for things like this, but imagine if the shirts were kind of like tie-dyed, whatever color the background of the can badges is. That would be really fucking cool.
I disagree slightly because I feel like, actually, I guess it's technically the same since it's character colors. I was going to say like the colors of the Digimon were like green with like the fuchsia pink for Gekkomon. But those are kind of the background colors anyways, except for the Chirotmon one is the yellow. So those look interesting. Day 8, which is art by Daiki Hamano, which is Murasamon. He kind of, like, he drew the number 8. And do you see, like, I can't tell if it's an angry face or if it's just strokes he happened to draw on his signature.
It looks like little fangs.
Okay, so I'm not imagining that then. I was looking at that going, that looks kind of weird.
Looks like a cat mouth, kind of.
Yes. Then they had announced the We Are the Digimon promotion team special that would air in the actual time slot the show. That aired. The extended version's on YouTube. So did you watch any of this, Dev, or no?
Flicked through a couple of minutes of it, and it looked very interesting, but otherwise I was too busy.
So it's 47 minutes long. The first 25 or so odd minutes is roughly, hey, this time slot used to be Digimon Adventure. If you like Digimon Adventure, let us remind you of Digimon Adventure before we talk about new Digimon. And in fact, it starts standing in front of the Fuji building with them pointing up at the fucking ball. And then they sing Butterfly.
Aw, that's very cute.
Then they go into the production office. They're welcomed by the director, Gekkomon. The high point here for people is probably the behind-the-scenes art. We did not post screen caps of the evolution. They showed up. I think at that point, you might as well wait for the show. And it's easy enough to watch and find it if you want it. But I didn't post screen caps of that for obvious reasons. Lots of art of Gekkomon, which I think shows off his personality really well. I feel like the most popular one is the one of him hanging on the wall.
Honestly, I love when we get kind of like all the background artwork and the different poses and turnarounds of the characters.
So, okay, so the part that you'll probably, that I think a lot of people really want to see, I only posted one or two screen caps of it where they show the, like, the blue digital space. At one point, mm-hmm. they show moving the 3D camera around with the character art there. And how it's a free movement camera and they have it set so the characters are always aimed at the camera. Very interesting. Okay. And they record the host as background characters for episode one.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Then day 7 countdown image, we get the voice of Kyo, Yohei Azukami. I don't remember if it was you or someone else, Dev, who's like, oh, good. I always worry my Japanese handwriting's bad. I don't remember if it was you or someone else who sent it to me. Okay.
Yeah, it was me. It's like, yeah. I no longer feel bad about my handwriting. This is like toddler, kindergartner handwriting.
Well, to be fair, he wrote the 7 days thing very nice. That's up at the top of that image. And then today we got the 6 day countdown image, which this is the voice of Trotmon Masaki Kuno. I don't know what she draw, but I very much, it feels like if you drew a circle, would that be Bokomon and or Homer Simpson?
Homer Simpson, if he was a cat.
Yes. And then we got a 30-second promo of Arisa Sakane explaining her character's Makoto in 30 seconds. This is the type of thing they need to really sub.
Yeah.
Then, just a few hours ago, they announced that... Remember how when they announced the New York Comic Con panel, they said there'd be guests, but they weren't going to announce them for a while?
Yep.
It's producer Sakurada and Megumi Han.
Unexpected, but yes. Hell yes.
And they will also have Megumi Han at the Toei booth for autographs. Although I think it's one of those things where they make you go to the Toei booth first to enter to see if you get to, where it's going to be by appointment only, I think.
Which, the event I was at this weekend also had appointments for things like that. So to be fair,
it's better than the stand in an 8-hour line and hope you get there.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember doing that years ago. It's like, that's not fun. Especially if you're close to the end.
Yeah, so you have, like, no concept of, like, if you're even going to get in or not.
Yeah, and then, so, Time Strangers officially out the 3rd, but because of international datelines, most of us will be playing it on the 2nd. So, just basically 3 days away at this point, and there's been a nice batch of news. So first up, Pac-Man 40th Anniversary shirt in-game. I actually really like this shirt, because I like that logo. Yes.
It would be a very nice, like, real physical shirt. Like, that is a nice design to actually have.
I may be wrong. I think they made a shirt with that logo. I'm not sure it's the same shirt, but, like, I'm pretty sure that logo has been on apparel. Then they officially announced that they were verified for Steam Deck, not just you can run it on Steam Deck and it should work, but tested and everything. Hooray. And then we get concept art for the In-Between Theater.
I actually really like this. It's very cool.
So I really like the concept art, but am I wrong, or from footage we've seen of the theater, is the concept art a bit too realistic compared to the style of the game? Like the footage we've seen feels a bit more, not quite super deformed, but a bit more...
stylized, I guess?
Yeah. Like, this feels like you could see CG realistic characters walking through it, like for a movie. This doesn't quite look like the one in the game. At least to me. But to be fair, they do say it's concept art. It isn't necessarily supposed to be the art of the game.
Feels like I'm doing a first-person shooter in this.
Yes. That's actually the perfect response. Then they put up a little promo page where you can click and get randomized to get to summon a Digimon. I forgot who I posted, but I did post the information on the With the Will Twitter, but I forgot who I got. Oh, it was Shine Greymon, I think. Then with Tokyo Game Show happening last weekend, they posted booth videos. Very nice booth setup, I have to say. Then they previewed Diaboramon. And then they did another preview of all the public safety characters.
Very nice.
Then they showed off that Time Stranger PC, not a render, but the actual PC, which they had on display at Tokyo Game Show. I still really like how they laid this out.
Very aesthetic.
Although I admit, I'm not big on all the RGB. Like, I want mine to be, like, not shiny.
Not retina destroying?
Yes. They showed off previews of the public safety suit costume. That comes in the Ultimate Edition, and they confirmed the costumes will be available post-launch to just purchase.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so if you only want like one specific one.
So that is one costume. I assume that will just be a DLC pack with the costume for both main characters, and it apparently has certain missions that has to do with wearing the costume. So I assume it will be that, or will be bundled with some other DLC like that. Let's see. Then they showed off the Cyber Sleuth costume set, which same.
I like this one.
Which seemed to. So I think what helps is the Time Stranger uniform, the Adamus uniforms. They stand.
It came out of Cyborg 009.
Yeah, the problem is they are just the Cyborg 009 costumes, but using colors that don't necessarily mesh well with Digimon. And I assume in-game, they will make some joke about them being from a cartoon or from them standing out in a weird way. I wonder if we saw that in... Or did they actually mention that in the demo? I don't remember. But yeah. They more preview of the Tokyo Game Show booth. They showed off art of all the Olympus 12. This is their game. This is various artwork we've seen for them before, but nice to get it all together.
I wonder if this is showing like the actual scale of them compared to each other.
I feel like from footage we've seen, Minervamon is not that size compared to Mercurimon. Because I think we've seen them next to each other in game in footage.
I don't quite remember.
Also, I don't think Marsmon. Look how fucking tiny Marsmon is.
He's just a dude.
But yes, but like if you have Minervamon stand straight up, she's almost as tall as he is. This can't be to scale.
Be funny if it was, though.
Also, how tiny is Volcanismon? I don't think this can be to scale, Dev. Just in my opinion. Then we get a little profile from Rai. So, someone who was like, I keep track of FPS for PlayStation 5 games. I am not a random person. I am an expert on frame rates. Showed up at the Digimon Reddit with this new update on the PS5 demo today makes it 60 frames per second.
Okay.
Now, to be fair, my PS5 has not been unpacked since I moved just because it just hasn't.
I get that.
Which means I had to leave it to Humulus to deal with. And Humulus is being slowly driven insane by people who cannot identify shit. So,
absolutely.
Now, so remember, this person's like, I'm not a random person. I'm an expert. This is what I do. He explains it's 60 frames per second now, but the visual quality is much, much, much lower. Now, this doesn't make sense because as we've established, it doesn't push the PS5 much. So some people...
Not a AAA game graphics.
So Humulus goes off to check on his PS5. And during the time, some other people go, oh no, it's definitely 60 frames per second. Other people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. This is 30. Humulus comes back and he's recorded one of the Horizon games, which is a 60 frame per second game, and the PS5 can record on device. So you can do 60 frame per second recording. So he recorded that just to show the PS5 could record 60, and then he recorded Time Stranger. What frame rate do you think Time Stranger was?
I'd say it's probably 30.
Yeah, 30, and the visuals look roughly the same. Time Stranger is not the prettiest game. It just isn't. It gets by with some style, but the actual quality is not great.
It's good enough.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, so when people go like, oh, the quality doesn't look good anymore, that's them imagining it. It has not changed. So the guy's still arguing that it's 60, that Humulus must have done something wrong. You have to do a new save file, blah, 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 blah. Anyone who has said it's 60 has not been able to provide recording from the PS5 that it's 60. They just say it's 60. In fact, the original guy, to prove it, showed off a PS5 screen of the menu showing the version number of the demo. Not showing a video clip, showing like demo version 1.0001.0004 or whatever, and that was like his entire proof. Not showing a video, showing a version number.
A still image.
Yeah, so I decided to go back to that thread to see if anyone posted. Because here's the thing. Maybe something is wrong and maybe it's 60. So I'm doing my due diligence and checking today. Weird, I can't find the thread. But I definitely still have... I haven't cleared cache, so it's still there. So I find it. The original poster has deleted every post he's made about that Digimon game. Completely. You can't even find him mention the word Digimon anymore. Which means he's wrong, and rather than admit it, he tried to erase everything.
Well, what do you want? It's
people
gotta be right on
so
the interwebs.
So in chat, Tiny Iron Fist asks, does it need to be 60 FPS, especially from RPG? It's not that it needs to be. It's that it is a premium-priced game, so we are treating it as games of its price. So it's not a graphically intense game. It does not have intense underlying elements that would make it hard for the system. So it runs 4K 30 on PS5, Xbox Series X, and on Xbox Series S, it's 1440p 30. So let's say that's just the game. Okay, but the PS5 Pro is also 4K 30. Or PS5 Pro, sorry. You would expect that if the PS5 can do only this, then the Pro could do 60 for a better experience because that's what you paid for. It's also not a limitation of the engine because if you get the game on PC, you can go up to 144 frames per second. So the issue isn't that we're not saying 4K 30 is unplayable. We're saying it doesn't make sense for what the game is. Like if it was a limitation of, because it's not a new engine. It's the same engine as Hacker's Memory and Cyber Sleuth, just updated a bit. If it was a limitation of the engine, then tough shit, that's the engine. Oh well. But Cyber Sleuth was 60 frames per second on most systems. So our issue isn't that we're not saying it's unplayable. We're not saying that you have to have 60 frames per second to enjoy it. We're just saying it doesn't make sense what it is. That's like if it was 4K 30 on the PS5 and 4K 60 on the PS5 Pro, we go, it still doesn't make sense, but they at least made sure that if you paid more for the better system, you got the better experience. Since they didn't, it's a premium priced game and we kind of have to point that out. If it were a $40 or $50 game, I'd be more willing to cut them slack with it. But when it's $70 with a $100...
Give it a year or so.
Yeah, when it's $70, $100 deluxe version, $120 ultimate version, and I still kind of expect at launch or slightly after launch we will get a performance mode that will do 60. It would just be nice to get for it to make sense. People are very excited by this, Cyber Sleuth winning the future category of the Japan Game Awards 2025. And then when people looked into the category, they started to get confused. So let me explain what this is. The Japan Game Awards was a week ago. It was like last Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay.
So Time Stranger was not mentioned at that event. Then around when the Tokyo Game Show started, it's like, oh, the future category is going up for votes. And it's voting for 3 days online, anyone from any country. And then they award it to 11 games at the end of the event. What it is it's what games on display are voted for by fans around the world. It's not really it's more a promotional award tie into the event rather than really being one of the awards.
It's like, congrats, you're the most awesome. It's like, hey, people acknowledge that you exist.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like, oh, cool. The new Resident Evil game's not out for half a year, but it got the award also. Tiny Iron Fist in the chat put it, yeah, better than nothing. It is, but it's also sort of like I like seeing Haru with the Patamon on his shoulder. They also showed off more of the costumes, the swimwear, Chosen Children, and Digimon costume sets. They confirmed those will be available post-launch. These include the Ultimate Edition, and they include side missions relating to the costumes.
Neat. Like that idea.
They also did a small... I like when they do relationship charts, honestly. I think it is a good way to clearly grasp what is going on for anyone. And I like the one they did. I like how they have the cloudy shadow figure off to the side all alone. No one likes him.
Like, fuck that guy in particular.
Oh, you know what the weird thing is? Okay, so the, pseudo-profile art we have of him, it kind of looks like a cloudy version of Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden. if you look at it just right, it's like there's fog around Ryu. Then Agumon showed off the giant Gurumon fans could ride at Tokyo Game Show. And before Tokyo Game Show ended, they had a special guest come to the booth. Pac-Man.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
And after waiting for a week, my Pac-Man pre-order finally came in.
And you had a chance to crack it open yet?
No. No, what it is I bought a Steam key, and Bandai sent the wrong region keys to the store. And then Agumon waved goodbye at the end of Tokyo Game Show. And then we kept getting more updates. So first, the uniform of a certain school costume and pre-order DLC, the Agumon Black Goblin Black, they've confirmed those will be available post-launch.
Good.
This was the one that, like, concerned people. We're like, is this going to be locked down? I'm going to guess somewhere between $2 and $5. They did a 30-second game ad. They showed off Imperial Dramon Fighter Mode, and they showed off Hiroko. The big one is that pre-order DLC, because a lot of people are like, I can't get the game right now. I have to wait. It's like,
yeah, same.
Yeah. Do you know why the pre-order DLC is dickish, though, honestly, if it was going to be locked down? Agumon Black and Gabumon Black in their line are not accessible unless you have the DLC at all.
Oh.
So, like, as far as I know, it's like it was in, I think that the same way it was in Cyber Sleuth, where the entire line is skipped over in the Digipedia in the game. You have no accessibility to them unless you have them. It's not like the Bond forms. And then we put it up today. I went ahead and I'm getting a spare Ultimate Edition code and got a spare Cyber Sleuth code, and we are running a contest until the game is out. You'll have to check that out on the forum if you want to enter. We basically did the same type of contest we normally do, which is you have to put in a modicum of effort. You can't just click a button, but you can enter, and if you win, you will get either the Ultimate Edition of Time Stranger or the Sour Cyber Sleuth for Steam. And that will close.
That you want it.
It's not proof that you want it. It's just a modicum of effort. It can't just be click button, enter contest. I need at least a sentence or something. Just the smallest energy.
I want to see them do a cage match.
I feel like we have to do that if we're going to record at a convention. We can't do that streaming. And then Toei Summer Weekend Splash finished last weekend. Their English and Spanish live streams over the summer. They'd finished Doremi and Pretty Cure the week before, so they added some episodes of O2 and Tamers. And I don't know what happened, but a number of people commented on issues with O2 and Tamers.
They look like absolute ass.
So, at least one person said O2 appeared to be the discotheque versions, but something was wrong with the audio. And I looked at the first few seconds, and it's like, so you know the intro part to season 2, where it's TK narrating?
Yeah.
That's and you know, I had to track down the footage, and we had to re-edit the footage. I had to find the audio for it, because it's not on the syndication of the DVDs, right? That was on the stream. Somehow, it just had the background music and no TK. I don't know how that happened. I was not involved with that, but that was strange.
Anigans.
And someone said it's the season, in chat, they're saying the season 3 opening and ending sounded weird. But I'm not sure. I just know people mentioned, I think someone said an entire episode of Bulbabo was silent.
Do they not check when they upload these things?
I don't know. Apparently not, but I don't know. And then cards. So first up, Cyber Dramon and Justimon Blitzarm. Cyber Dramon, I like the slash. And Justimon, that is definitely not legally a rider kick.
They're okay.
I like the Cyber Dramon one more because it's a bit more dynamic. Chitose and Ryuji get art of scenes from the games. I feel like the VIP here and everyone liked it was Keisuke doing the face. I always forget the name of the face.
Duck face.
Then Lilamon and Rosemon. Both of these are fine. I don't have much to say about them because, like, they're good, but they're also kind of standard for the characters.
Just generic waifu cards.
Rayman and Garurumon, I both like. They're like kind of like the like very nice comic style art. I really like these.
Very actiony. Love the colors on the Garurumon.
Okay, so then we have Huomon, Phoenixmon, and Tsukumon. Huomon's weird because I feel like I've seen this image, especially around the head.
Oh, it feels like I've seen the same kind of pose, but with Sora in the image.
Yeah, it's new art, but like I keep looking at it, and I keep going, I've seen this somewhere. Sakuyamon, I like. It has a bit of anime flair. I don't have much to say about it, though. Ghostmon, floating over a table with various pieces of knight armor and what appears to be dried blood.
Like, oh, shit. Hide the body.
Then the next image, we get Petite Meramon, so Stimmy Meramon, him and a few Mokemon burning the place down, and one of them's holding a sword, and the other is doing paperwork.
They're helping hide the evidence.
What's the pen for, though?
They made a checklist of things that they have to destroy so they don't forget.
Yes, but he's also burning the checklist.
Maybe he's burning the things that he completed.
That's true. Then we get Eater Bit, which, if I remember right, these are the mini eaters that Erica creates. I always forget these guys exist.
Same. They make me think of the cores from Portal.
Yeah, they do look like that. Then we get Eater Legion, Eater Eden. I don't have much to say about this because it very much looks like their profile art, just slightly more cartoonish. I like it, I just don't have much to say about it.
It's there.
Yeah, that feels about right. Then we get Erica and Parallar. I like the one with her talking with Wormmon.
Wormmon's so happy to be there.
Yeah. Then we get Eximon and Parallar. Both of them features him being Eater infected. I love the Royal Knights rushing him. Especially the Duke.
It shows like a really good scale.
Especially the Dukemon out of focus right by the camera.
Oh, okay. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Because he's out of focus enough that it's hard to like get your eye on him. But like where he's actually out of focus because he's so close to the camera, I just really like it. And then it's Yggdrasil / King Drassel 76, who you can't tell if he's being menacing or doing a T-pose.
He has to assert dominance.
Hackmon / Huckmon. This is a nice little image. A number of people commented they felt like it looked especially like the Tri version of Hackmon.
Yeah, I can see that. Also very generic pose.
Then we get Sistermon training gym. Nice cartoony art. We'll comment on the Sistermons more in a moment. Jessmon and Parallelmon art. So I like the parallel art, where it's him with the action shot against Eximon.
Yeah, that one looks so badass.
That's how you do a busy shot and make it look good. There's 100 things happening here, but it's framed so well, it's good. Magnemon and Dynasmon both get cartoony art. It works really well. Especially Magnemon.
The background color, like the contrast against the purple, is just really nice.
Yeah. Then we get previews of Dullamon, Phantomon, Unique Emblem, Soul Banquet, Angelmon, Lady Devamon, Parallel Art of Dullamon, and Parallel Art of Mastamon. So going over them one by one. Dullamon, I love the manga-style texturing with the head flying at the camera.
He looks utterly badass.
So Phantomon, am I wrong, or is this outside the ruins of that house?
What, the one where...
Yeah, where they burnt it down.
They're covering up arson. Yeah. Yes. That certainly looks like it.
Soul Banquet is art from the webcomic. Angelmon, Lady Devamon, both good. Does Lady Devamon's head, is it a bit big?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a bit off.
Usually her head is like the size of each of her boobs.
Yes.
But now it's bigger.
Then the parallel art of Dullamon is throwing the axe again, which again looks good. And the Mastamon parallel art, I don't have much to say about this. It's a really good shot of her with Mirai and the cats. I just don't have much to say about it, but I like it.
It's cool and badass.
Then we have the Sistermon, so we have Blanc, Noir, and CL. Blanc is in both versions, Noir is in Japan, CL is in the US. These are funnier now that they do them at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't have anything more to say about them. I just think it's funny because... Well, people always say they want Bandai to be in charge of it, not Saban. This is what you get.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is if you look at the background, it's not quite a panorama card. I believe it actually does go noir blank seal. If you look at the curvature of the background, does it feel like they're...
Yeah, I can
definitely... Yeah, they're close to connecting. Not exactly, but close.
Someone will have to Photoshop that together.
Yeah, then we get Wolkenpalm, Ice Archery, and Nano Machine Break. More of the game style attack cards. I've liked the visuals of these, honestly.
Figure out which one I like the most. I just love Betamon so much.
They all look good, though, to be fair. And then more Royal Knights. We had Gankumon, who gets very... This is very much a Gankumon pose.
Bad pose.
Craniumon gets a bit of nice texturing. And Gallantmon gets a little bit of stylizing. Like, normally the Gilmon headpiece is a bit fatter. It's a bit more stylized and flat this time. It's very cool looking.
I see that.
Then Funbeamon, Waspmon, and Cannonbeamon. These really look great together. The coloring is good. It feels like he's evolving. It almost feels like a warp evolution type thing.
Ooh, I wonder if they'll do like a Queen Beamon with that same. Although they probably will.
I hope they will. Because that will really work well. Then card battle. They unboxed EX10. And then a bunch of the previews were from a different battle of card battle. What is it for cards? And then, so just a couple hours ago, Premium Bandai had been under maintenance, which is weird because they opened the new site like a month or two ago. So they came up for maintenance.
Like, what did they break?
And I remember talking to people going, do you think when maintenance ends, the Cross Wars V-Pets will go up? They did not, but they did put up a new wave of pre-orders for the D3 25th. So anyone who missed it on that, this may be your last chance. I can hear Dev cursing.
Why do they always restock when I'm a broke-ass bitch?
And probably because of tariffs, the price has gone up. They're not 80, they're now 100 each. So these pre-orders will be open until October 15th or until they close, and they will ship in December. And then new poll favorite.
Like, or the watch will just be lost in a snowstorm.
And then favorite Arm Revolution from the Digimental / Digi-Egg of Miracles. Congratulations to Magnemon. The vote hasn't closed yet, but it'll be Magnemon.
It's going to be a Magnemon sweep.
Yeah, because here's why it's going to be a Magnemon sweep for two reasons. One, it's Magnemon. And two, anytime Magnemon shows up in one of these, the people who try to cheat in Brigade always vote for Magnemon. So this is one where everyone's voting for Magnemon, including the people trying to cheat in Brigade. So Magnemon will be first. Who do we think will be last? I feel like...
Peacockmon or Elephamon.
I feel it's going to be like Elepha, because Peacockmon looks kind of cool. Like, he has kind of a dynamic look to him. And also, he's shiny in blue. So he fits the shiny motif. Elephamon, I love an elephant that has like a VTOL head. But, like, it just doesn't feel like
an
it's going
elephant
to work.
And Harrier Jet for a face.
Yeah. And then it is time for potpourri. So first up, reference book. Kekkomon, Geckomon, and Dulamon. Dulamon with his axe head's good, but you really can't beat that Geckomon, can you? Then the Toei Museum put up some images from when Digimon Expo was still running, of their various Digimon. I still love that fucking vending machine is still there. Doesn't that feel like something that was only going to be there for like 3 months?
Yeah, they would just like rebrand it whenever, but no, it's
still it's Digimon. There forever. Then Cross Wars V-Pet displays from Tokyo Game Show and the Premium Bandai Showroom. Seeing these and seeing pictures, I really like the finish.
I really want the blue flare one.
Please, Premium Bandai USA, put up pre-orders. Then the members of boy band INNY, who are on the promotion team special, took a picture with Geckomon. Then the Q&A. So it's actually good timing that we missed the one last week, just because so busy on the weekend that I forgot to do it. Because it ends up being that everyone in the 2 weeks before they stopped doing them answered the same question, which is, what's something you got emotional about lately? So a few of them gave the good PR question of, it's when I was cast in Digimon Beat Break. And then the now I'm only going to read the one where the actress for Chirapmon, which is Masaki Kuno, are you ready for her answer?
Yes.
Wait, I need to sip some water before I do this because this is long. Okay. Her answer was, I still can't drink black coffee because it tastes too bitter, but I want to be able to. At the voice acting studio, Mio Arino said, want to try some? And poured me some. When I tried it, it was so bitter that my eyes and nostrils went wide. It swallowed my emotions. I want to be able to drink it someday.
Fuck.
But it's like Mio Arino talks about being cast in Beat Break. Megumi Han talks about like scenes in the show. Tomoyo Kurosawa talks about like she had oysters and her fatigue vanished and her appetite went up and she felt better. Someone else talked about like planting cherry tomatoes and they started to sprout. Someone else talked about casting. She did her little thing about coffee. The voice of Q talked about like he confronted his emotions again regarding his deceased fathers, which he'd been suppressing for many years. And then someone else talks about their soccer team winning a tournament. You get all those, and you read the coffee one. It's like, what the fuck is she talking about? She got emotional because she doesn't like coffee, but she keeps drinking it.
He looked into the void, and the void looked back into her, okay?
Exactly. To be fair, her answer is my favorite because it's a very real answer. It is, even like Mio Arino's, like, it's not lip service, it's real. When it was decided I would be in Digimon Beat Break, that's the emotional thing that happened to him. And he even says, I'm not saying this because I have to. Wink, wink. And then Kenji Watanabe went to Philadelphia for TCG Legend Expo. He took photos of himself in Philadelphia, including at the Rocky statue, where he tweeted Adrian. And then,
it's always the fucking Rocky statue.
Yeah, it's always, no matter where you are in the world, people like show up. And then the poster from his booth is the photo from Dev when she was there. That is a very good shot of that poster, Dev.
That's why I'm broke.
Yes, that is what Dev spent all of her money on, is she rushed out there to get him to sign stuff.
Yep, I had a two-hour window.
You could, and see, here's the thing. If you look at this poster, it has a bunch of characters from stuff he's done, like Legends, Magical Witches. But you can tell he knows his audience, because the ones that are easiest to see are Agumon and Omegamon. Although I love
and look, if you were there, it was for trading cards. If you were there, it was for Digimon. You know what we showed up for.
Yes. Then let's see. We got some images of the Kaiser Greymon model kit, which came out in Japan. We got the packaging, which is new art from Asmaria. Asmaria put up a Shikishi, which looks very nice. The Big Shinjuku had... Sorry, go ahead.
It looks pretty badass.
It does. The Big Shinjuku showed off that the model can display. And the Toei Animation Museum streamed 5 Kaiser Greymon related episodes of Frontier to celebrate. Tokyo Game Show, Masashi Harada was there, and he showed himself riding the Gurumon and posing.
Where I want to be.
He looks so happy.
I want to ride the inflatable Gurumon.
Then some more photos from the event. It was a nice little setup they had at the booth there. A bunch more photos of Digimon Expo. Too many to get into, but a few ones was Ayumi Miyazaki showing off. The voice of Murasamon was there, and he really liked taking photos of the amplified kits, he said. Megumi Han pointed out she hadn't seen... everyone from Crosswords hadn't been together for a while. She also shared a photo of her with Kakudo and Miwa Matsumoto, which makes sense when you remember in all the stuff since 2010 or so, she's been Takaru. Just lots of good photos.
Good.
Yeah. Then a few more. Lots of really good photos. And then Tenryu Ebuno showed up. He put up 2 images of Ruff. He said he didn't remember making them. He thinks they were for presentation. Then someone said it looked like they were from Go Go Digimon, which was a short manga-esque promotional comic that came in a guidebook, which actually, I believe, predates Come On Digimon. And he goes, ah, it does. Then later, near that, he found a picture of a monkey. And he thinks it's related to the comic page in Digimon, but he's not actually sure. And he mused on, he wonders what the past version of himself was trying to do here. Like, he looks at the art and he really doesn't know. Well, no, that's the thing. Like, if you look, it's monkey. But it has, like, chicken legs and feet.
A lizard tail, and it's wearing a banana on its head.
So, like, even he's like, I don't know what... He's like, I wish I could ask the young version of me what I'm trying to do. I feel like this probably was not Digimon related.
I think it It has the vibes of something Shits and Giggles related.
Well, you have to remember he does a lot of gag. He did a lot of gag comics back then, also. I feel like this.
Yeah,
was,
when you have like this sheer volume.
Yeah,
of
even
that he
yeah.
Does,
see,
I'm not surprised if you don't remember.
Even in chat, they're saying it's probably from a gag manga, which is probably why no one recognizes it, because it's probably not a Digimon thing. Then the card game social art is. It's been so long since Omekamon saw Cool Boy, his memory of him is forgetting him. It's, Cool Boy, where are you now, and what in the world are you doing? What kind of person was he? And he's imagining a Cool Boy with hearts around him. And then, Quinlan's like, I'm not sure that's right.
That's just Omekamon's vision of him.
Yes.
He loves him so much.
And then we get Liberator. Usagi Bochi posted a close-up of Dullahamon's head. Looks weird from this angle.
It does.
And then Tomo posted art of Violet, which I really like. It's really neat art. Again, though, it feels like anytime she's drawn, the drills change size.
And shape.
Yes.
I think that she just has like a closet, like a bat cave kind of setup.
Full of drills.
There. Yes, and she just goes and selects which ones to attach to her head at any particular time.
That would make sense, frankly. And then, chat, time for questions. The first one sent in was someone said, I was curious that if Digimon Story Time Stranger runs wheeled like you guys talked about the demo, what games run better that you've seen for older PCs? And do you think the game would be good based on what we've seen so far? Yeah, but Cave Story is like 10 pixels, Dev.
So? I was right!
You aren't wrong. Almost any Night Dive remaster. I mean, the problem is saying, like, what game runs better is Time Stranger doesn't seem to run particularly well. It does scale well, though. Yeah, it does scale well. It just seems to be a bit janky as it runs. Do you think the game will be good based on what we've seen so far? I feel like the answer will be what it is for every Digimon game, which is it is a good Digimon game. Would we care about it if it wasn't Digimon? Probably not.
We know what we're here for.
Are there any seasonal fall food or drinks you enjoy? I don't think there is for me.
Anything pumpkin cake related, which is separate from pumpkin spice. Like, I just like the actual flavor
of pumpkin.
Of pumpkin cakes,
okay,
and breads.
That makes sense. Yeah,
and I can only find it between August and November, and then it's gone.
I'm trying to think. Does it count if I found something that's a new flavor now, but is not specifically a fall-autumn flavor?
See, why not?
They are now doing honey-roasted peanut M&Ms.
Aw.
And I'm not sure what to think of them when I tried them. Because it's one of those, like, in my head, I know what it's going to taste like. And then I taste it, it does not taste like that. And my brain's like, eh?
It's like, you know what peanut M&Ms taste like? You know what honey-roasted peanuts taste like? You would kind of... You have expectations of it, but then your tongue goes like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, that's functionally what happened. Then Chat Phantom Killer says, people on social media got excited. Some guy had a fan beam on, and they said stuff like, finally supporting characters can have Digimon again. He got confused. I mean, I feel like we see people with supporting characters get Digimon. Like, Ghost Game did not have formal partners, but a lot of characters did stuff with Digimon.
Remembering the May Crackmon.
Yeah. Oh yeah, his question was he was still getting caught up with Ghost Game, but they only have the trio, and they're saying yeah, Espeon doesn't really count. But like a lot of characters had Digimon in that, they just were not formal partners with Digivices. But there was a lot of this person has a Digimon.
Buddies.
Yeah. Let's see. What do you guys think if they did a Digimon story manga in a cooking or food setting? I would like to see Iron Chef Digimon. Like, have Edamon
great
as the
Digimon.
Chairman.
I want the Great Digimon Bake Off.
I don't know. Every time I see the screen cap of that one s'more with the text explanation of it, doesn't it make you a little bit angry? Like, you don't want the s'more to be all messy now, do you? It's like, yes, I do.
It's like, no, I want, like, molten fucking marshmallow everywhere.
Then Starcast, do either of you have a favorite tarot from the major arcana or one you associate most with yourself? I could not even tell you if you're talking about generic tarots or if like major arcana is an anime or a card game. Like, I don't know if you're talking about, like...
Same. I know nothing except certain cards get a lot of fan art versions.
Yeah, but
that's
like...
That's about it.
But, like, I'm saying, like, I could not even identify if he's naming, like, a fan, like, one that people are happy from based on a game or anime, or if he means, like, actual tarot cards.
My friends did play the Arcana mobile game, which was very fun.
Oh, he's saying the ones from Persona.
Yeah, I've never actually played Persona.
I have, but I can't remember any of them. Let's see. Someone said, how does this year rank on stuff for Digimon, stuff for fans? I've seen some say it's the best ever. It's hard to say the best ever.
A lot of stuff.
Here's the thing. It's hard to say it's the best ever when the main things aren't out yet. It's high up there, but like 2020 was a pretty good fucking year for Digimon. In fact, I may be wrong, but 2023, Ghost Game ended, Seekers began. 2023 was also the year we got the beginning. And was 2023 when Survive finally came out? Survive was 2022. Okay. Wait, so 2023, was that when Next Order got its ports?
I feel like that's right, because I know I had it down.
2023.
Yeah, because I know I got that on Steam for like $10 or
like
something.
Like in recent...
I haven't played it.
In recent memory, some of the big years are 2015, 2020, 2023. This is definitely a good one, but it's hard to judge this one when, like, we're days away from the big things coming out. Like,
yeah, that and there's more shit they're going to release.
Well, it's also like I remember us and AR, we saw episode one of Ghost Game. We went, if this could keep up the quality, this could be the best Digimon anime. And then within a few weeks, we were not saying that anymore.
No, it's just like,
Yeah, like,
I'd disappoint us, personally.
Yeah, I need to judge stuff after. I can't go theoretically. Let's see. What kind of stories do you like to see with Digimon? Do you like cyberpunk or adventure crossovers? I'm not so worried about the types of stories. I'm more worried about the quality, personally. I do feel like they're leaning... A number of years have leaned too much into... Digimon as this pseudo mysterious thing. Like one thing I'm happy about with Time Strangers is you're going to the digital worlds there. It's not Cyrus's and Hacker's Memory and Survive where it's like they're mysterious creatures, blah blah blah. And maybe you get a flash of the digital world. Like, no, that's a core thing of the franchise. It's neat to not have it once in a while, but they've made that a thing too much. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm mostly good with anything at this point.
Yeah.
Give me variety.
Let's see. With lots of game discussion because of Time Strangers, I was wondering, what are the games that get your blood pumping when you play?
Hollow Knight, Silksong. Give all the Metroidvanias.
I don't play it much anymore. So it has no relation to the one that I mentioned earlier since coming up, but Pac-Man Championship Edition DX Plus. If I play that for more than a few minutes, I will, like, you know when, like, you can feel your chest pumping?
Like you go completely feral.
Yes,
lock in.
That game is so fucking intense that, generically, I will only play it for a little bit at a time. Because it is so fucking crazy. Like, that is a big obvious one. Then someone said, they weren't here. Do we know who the head writer is for Beat Break? It's Ryoto Yamaguchi, who did the same for Saviors. And he was also the series composer, I think, for Sailor Moon, Sailor Stars. I think for Cutie Honey Flash. One of the version of Metabots, I believe. I'm trying to think. What else? I think, was it Doki Doki Pretty Cure? One of those. I think it was Doki Doki.
I remember a while back you mentioning one of the Pretty Cures.
I think it was Doki. And someone in chat said it was the first Metabot series, the one that everyone likes. So last chance in chat for questions. Someone said, what toys and stuff would you like to see for Digimon Beat Break with a few days until it starts? How are you feeling about it? So for toys, I feel like the obvious one is we need little figures of Gekkomon, preferably ones with sticky pads on them so you can stick them to windows. Like, I need...
Personally, I want a life-size plushie of Chirapmon.
He's tiny enough, it feels like they could do that. But what I'm thinking is I'm thinking of, like, a Gekkomon figure plush that sticks to the car like the Garfield ones. Yeah. And with a few days until it starts, how you feel about it? I'm feeling positive, but concerned. It does... A few things are falling into a pattern that does not work over. Like, this time it's going to be Digimon with the power of human emotions. Like, that's every fucking Digimon.
All of them.
Like, when you make it into a plot device, like it's supposed to be unique, it gives me some slight concerns. Not because that's a problem, but that is the franchise.
Like, that's what it's based on. It's like the power of friendship.
Yeah.
You kick someone's ass.
Yeah. So it's like when you're like, oh no, the power of E-Pulse. Human emotions will make Digimon evolve. It's like, no, that's the fucking show. Like, that's the...
That's always been the fucking thing.
Yeah. That's my main concern, is where they start to focus on parts of the franchise like they're supposed to be unique. But I think, like any Digimon show, it's going to succeed or fail based on two things. The first is, do you like the characters? And two, do you feel connected to whatever the ongoing plot concern is?
Also, does the music fucking slap?
At the moment, I feel like the opening will. I don't know how I feel about the ending from that clip. I need to hear more. And the songs will be out in a couple days before the show starts, so I will probably get them and then play them on rotation, is what I think I will do. But at the moment, I don't know.
That works out.
Then someone wanted to know... let's see. So, last chance for questions. Someone asked, would we make a Magical Witches anime or game? What would they be like? I'm not familiar enough with the franchise to comment, to be honest. So I will just say, do the shmup series Kaden, but with whatever characters you're talking about. Because I know Magical Witches is one of the things Kenji Wanabe worked on. I'm just not familiar with the franchise outside of it has a V-Pet.
And they look like little books.
Yes.
That's it.
And then Fantasy World says, is there any information on Sub Beat Break other than Hulu? No. And I feel like a lot of people are making us, not you, but a lot of people are going, oh, they'll probably announce it for other platforms like a day before, like they normally do. It's like, I don't know, because they're making assumptions based on the way the Japanese streaming market is, where, like, you can see all these sites it's going to stream on after it airs on Fuji. It's like, that's generally how that market works, is once it airs, the secondary market is basically catch-up. Everyone and anyone wants the show, and most of the time, especially for something like a Toei show that airs Sunday morning, it will not be exclusive. Here, this is more like licensing out for first-run syndication. It doesn't mean it's exclusive, but it very well may be. And anyone needs to be prepared for that it may not be on Crunchyroll.
So wait for it.
And I like when we were talking about, you know, how this is what Digimon is. Someone goes, but in this one, they're catching bad guys with Digimon. It's like, yeah, there we go. And they're saying it in a very comical way, understanding that that is what the franchise is. And they're like, and so it's like Cyber Sleuth or Hacker's Memory.
Savers.
Or, yeah. And to a degree, they do that with Tamers or Frontier or O2. Hey, remember the arc of O2 where they literally escort hundreds of Digimon to portals to make them go home? Or in Ghost Game, where they make Digimon go home? Like, that, exactly. That's why they get the joke, we get the joke. But, like, that is, like, what they're talking about the show being, and that's just the franchise. Okay, looks like last question. Do we think the four characters will be the only characters who are more joined the main cast with Digimon? It is always hard to gauge that, because if you had, and I think we and they are all called, multiple characters in Ghost Game felt like they would join any fucking episode.
Yeah, but then they just didn't.
Yeah. It feels like the framing of Beat Break, where, like, there's a squad, there's probably other squads, is even if someone doesn't join the cast, it feels like people will have to show up who are with Digimon.
Yeah. Like, if you're having a named team, there has to be some other team to be either your rivals or acquaintances or background fodder.
Yeah. So, the expectation is yes, it may not be four. Matt, and are we going to be shocked when it's a kid with a Digimon, but... They're dramatic and maybe a bit evil.
Do they have a whip?
And is there an you know, I don't want to say it because we both know there's a good chance of it happening. Is there an evil scientist behind them who wants to manipulate Digimon? Yeah. So next week, we should have both watched Beat Break, episode one. I don't know. Like, here's the thing. I'm getting Time Stranger. I don't know how much my schedule allows me to play it. I don't believe Dev is getting it day one.
No, I will not have time. It is at my work. It's basically what they call peak season. So I'm picking up extra hours left and right. I don't even have time to sleep.
So I will be far enough into the game to talk about it and enjoy it and so forth. But I will not be giving story spoilers and stuff like that. That is my expectation. Dev is probably not going to have much to say. She will probably ask me, though.
Like, does the little goat kid do something special and heroic?
So here's my issue with the Ageomon one is, are we going to be shocked if it's just a slight, like, dry retread of Crusaders / Heroes?
I know. As long as it has music that's fucking awesome and as good as Crusader.
See, here's what's weird. A lot of people have not liked the music in the demo. I thought it was good. It wasn't. It was sometimes a bit too repetitive, but I liked it. Yeah, so, Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read? Especially since Wikimon is loading this week.
Omekamon, because, you know, he deserves a little bit of love since he's not getting any from Cool Boy.
I can be found with the Will, as always. We will be back weekly with the show starting. We hope to have AR with us next week, but no promises with his schedule. But we hope he will be here for the premiere. A little bit of Time Stranger talk, but I don't expect too much plot talk. I will talk more about the game. I'm especially hoping up it opens a bit past the demo, because the demo is a bit dry, I would say, which is probably why people are doing their damnedest to grind. And I'm just not gonna fucking do it. I'm sorry, but like I grinded RPGs when I have to. I am not going to spend 20, 60 hours fucking grinding in a 1 hour demo. Just absolutely fucking not.
That is madness. But I guess some people, you know, don't really have much else to do. It's like, might as well.
See, I would just put the game on an easier difficulty if I just was like, well, I just want to have fun and run through it, so I'm just going to grind 60 hours before the game starts. No, just turn it to easier. Like, just do that. That's fine.
No one's judging you.
So we will catch you guys next week. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. Bye.
Bye.